seeking the Lord's most gracious help. I direct your attention, friends, to the word we considered this morning in 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 7. The latter part of that verse, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 7. Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Well, we read this afternoon in John chapter 6 of Christ speaking to the multitude and to his disciples, declaring unto them that he is that bread of life. That bread which he gives to his people. That bread which they feed upon. Even Christ, the eternal word. But we read that when the Lord spoke to the multitude, his disciples, this word was very separating. He was showing to them that they could not choose this way. They could not feast on the sacrifice. They could not come to God, but by him who is the bread of life. And there were many that were offended. There were many that thought perhaps they had chosen this way. And we may think sometimes that we have chosen these things. But you see, if we're rightly taught, God will show to us that we can never choose that way, because the time will come, if we think we have chosen that way, if we think we have chosen the way to follow him to the kingdom, the time will come when what we think we have will be tried. The Lord will try it. And he will lead us in those pathways which are crucifying to our flesh. And so it will be seen in that day, at that time, whether we have that true gift, the bread of life, whether we have Christ dwelling in us by faith, or whether it is something which is man-made, something of the imagination, something of the intellect, something which is not real. And God will try every man's work by fire, see what sort it is. And so we're led, we think, in a right way. We think perhaps we're going to be led where we're going to have many blessings and times when we have joy and gladness. And perhaps when we first set out, the skies are blue and the sun is shining, and we know something of the warmth of Christ's love. And then suddenly the scene changes, and the storm clouds appear upon the horizon, and you know what it's like on a beautiful day. The sun is shining and the sky is so blue, and then you look ahead of you and you see on the horizon something has appeared. It looks dark. It looks gloomy. It looks threatening. And you know that this something is growing bigger. It's coming nearer. And so suddenly you forget. You forget the warmth of the sun. All those precious things that you've experienced, that you've tasted, handled and felt, and now your eyes are fixed upon that which is before you. And yet, the Lord, who is leading this one, has blessed them and favored them so much in their souls. He has given them many tokens. He has spoken to them such exceeding great and precious promises from his word. They've received them and they've been blessed in the receipt of them. But now they forget all these things. They don't see these things. And they say, we see not our signs. Oh, if only the Lord would now appear. If only now he would let down those handfuls of purpose like he did for Ruth when she came a-gleaning in the field of Boaz. This is what I want. Perhaps that is what you say this afternoon. I've come to his house. I've come to the field of the heavenly Boaz. And it is these handfuls of purpose now, I desire to eat them, to partake of the bread of heaven which he gives. But there are these dark things in your pathway. Oh, and they are distracting things. You see, the Lord will try your faith. He will show to you, without my grace, my presence, without my love, my mercy, my spirit, you would concentrate and look to these dark and gloomy things which would sink you into black despair. These things can't save you. These things can't help you. These things can do nothing for your soul, and yet you look at them. You dwell upon them. You muse upon them. In other words, you take your eye off the sacrifice, the one sacrifice for sin. You take your eye from the Saviour. You look at all those things that have come into your pathway, things of providence, things which will pass, things which will fade away, and they sink you. Like poor Elijah, you've come to the juniper tree. Cast down. Ready to give up. What did Elijah see? Well, this woman Jezebel. She wanted to take his life. He knew she'd slain the prophets. The old enemy was saying, "You're next, Elijah. What makes you think you're any different from the others? They've all been taken away. You're next, Elijah." And the poor man, instead of looking at what God has done and is doing, he's looking at what Jezebel's done. He's looking what the enemy's doing, what the enemy's saying. He's not feeding on the sacrifice. He's forgotten the exceeding great and precious promises. He's forgotten the word upon which God caused him to hope. Have you forgotten it, for sinner? God has given you a word. He's spoken that word. It's eternal. It abideth forever. The earth and all things around you will pass away, but the word that he has given to you, the word of promise, it's an eternal word. The word was made flesh. And it is that word this afternoon that is made flesh to your soul. The promise of this word is made flesh. It is meat to your soul. You can feed upon it. But you may say, it's been so long ago. God spoke this word so many years ago. It is fading. It is as though it is fading away. So that I no longer feel the sweetness of it. I no longer can feed upon it. I've lost the blessedness of it. It's just something that happened to me long ago in the past. And so here we have God's word. Christ, who speaks of himself being this manna, this bread, this feast, this which the soul must feed upon. And you say, what do you say this afternoon? Do you say, it's easy for you to say these things. We know what we must feed upon. We know what we need. We tasted that he is precious, he's gracious, he's good, he's kind, he's merciful. He's a long-suffering and patient God. We've tasted all these things, but we need again for God to bring us into the feast, to bring us to the banqueting house. We need that refreshing. But you see, as your faith is being tried, you come down, you come to that juniper tree, and you're looking at all the sorrowful things that have happened that you think are going to happen. And all these things are burdensome. All these things create the darkness. And as I said this morning about this middle wall of partition, it is though these things, like a black cloud or a thick wall or a veil, they hide the Saviour. Because, you see, really it is this. It is unbelief. Unbelief in our hearts. We can't get away from this unbelief, can we? We can't lay it aside. It's so weighty. At times it seems to be overpowering. This laying aside of every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, this sin of unbelief, hides the Saviour, brings darkness. I believe it was Hawker that said that unbelief is the greatest of sins because it makes God a liar. That's how great a sin it is. And we are plagued with it. Because we are carnal and sold under sin. And the devil knows it. The enemy knows it. He knew it in Elijah's case. He knew where he could get to Elijah. Yes, he'd stood before Ahab. He'd stood before the armies of Israel. He'd stood before the priests of Baal, the false prophets. He'd slain them. But then the Lord shows him, without my grace, look at the unbelief, Elijah. Look at your weakness. You fear. You're tempted. The persecutor of your soul, Satan, seems to gain ground. He comes, he whispers. He accuses you. Oh, he brings all your sins back. He brings you to that place where you're under the juniper tree and you have to say, Lord, I'm no better than my father. I'm a sinner, I'm unworthy of thy mercies. You see, the devil brings them all back. And he heaps them up against you. He hides the Saviour from your view. You cannot see him anymore. And then you wonder why you sink down into despondency and despair and darkness. It's because of unbelief. Elijah needed a fresh revelation of the bread of life, the bread of heaven, the King of glory. Oh, like Moses, show me now thy glory. He's about to give up. He's leading a stiff-necked and a rebellious people through the wilderness. He's journeying to the promised land, but he's about to give up. And yet it's a promised land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, where there'll be no want of anything. A glorious land. But he's about to give. What are you going to do, Moses? Are you going to turn back and settle down in the wilderness, a place which is appointed to utter destruction? Are you going to make your nest here? There's nothing here for you. It's not your rest. But he prays, Lord, show me now thy glory. I need a token. I need a revelation of Christ. I need to see the Son of God. I need to know that I have an interest in his blood, that I am his peculiar care, that his presence will go with me right to the promised land. Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Yes, Moses. Oh, he prayed that prayer, show me now thy way. He desired to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And he brought him. Oh, just like he brought Elijah, he brought him to the mount. He placed him in the cleft of the rock. Behold, there is a place by me. And that's what he would say to you, child of God, this afternoon. Though you've forgotten these promises, though you've forgotten his word, though unbelief seems to crowd in and hide him from your view, his word is still faithful. It's eternal. Behold, there is a place by me. It's a place prepared for you. My word is eternal. My promise is eternal. It's for you. It's eternal life by Christ is given. Ruined rebels raised to heaven. Arise and eat. You whom Christ has commanded to come to the feast. Feast of fat things. With wine on the lees, well refined. And so we read in John chapter 6, I am that bread of life. Those that eat of this bread shall live forever. Those that eat this bread shall never die. Those that eat this bread will receive eternal life. You see, Elijah was brought to see that Christ was the bread of life. The word was given to him. He received that word. He received the promises of God. And it was Elijah. This word was so true concerning Elijah. He that eateth me shall never die. And when Elijah came to Jordan, God sent the chariot, the horsemen of Israel. He never saw death. He never tasted death. Because he had eternal life abiding in him. He had the word of promise. Oh, you say, but that was true in Elijah's case. It was true in Enoch's case. But how many others? All these others died in faith. But the Lord says they do not die. They fall asleep. They sleep in Christ. They don't die. For the saints, the saint of God, when he comes to his end, when she comes to her end, It is no different from you tonight. When you lie down on your bed, you put your head on the pillow, and before you know it, you're asleep. And so it is with the children of God when they come to their end. Whoso eateth of this bread, they will not die. They may sleep, like Lazarus. But where are you this afternoon? Are you like Lazarus? Are you asleep? Are you bound with these grave clothes of unbelief? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ that you want to come now and give the commandment, loose him and let him go, that the grave clothes might fall off, that you may be set at liberty, because you feel to be bound? You want to be able to eat the bread of life, but you can't, because you're bound. You're bound up with these grave clothes of sin and unbelief, worldliness. Yes, of Elijah, he never tasted of death. Paul says this, in the last days, there will be those, the Lord's people, they will not taste of death. Because it will be here upon earth when Christ returns for the second time, and they will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Corruption will put on incorruption. Mortality will put on immortality. And they will not taste of death, but they will meet Christ in the air and forever be with the Lord, their Lord. These will be they that are eating his flesh and drinking his blood when he returns the second time. They won't need a grave. They won't need to secure a plot at the local cemetery. They will not see death because they have eternal life abiding in them. Arise and eat, for the journey, because the journey is too great for thee. Oh, what grace we need to go on, friends. What grace we need to continue. Unless he gives it, we shall utterly fail. We shall utterly fall. We shall not be able to continue. Like I said this morning, the children of Israel, they went out to seek the manna. And there's going to have to be a lot of seeking. You're going to have to seek him daily at the throne of grace. He who is the bread of life. Because if we do not, we shall find this. Our souls will starve. And their cry will be, my leanness, my leanness. That's what it will be. But the Lord, he gives more grace. He's promised to give it, and he will give it because he's faithful. He gives that more grace, a fresh supply, a secret supply. And perhaps that's what you feel you need this afternoon. You come into God's house. And you need this supply. You know God is showing to you this. He's showing to you this. Your weakness. Your unbelief. Your wretchedness. Your sin. He's showing you everything that you have of yourself. That you might be brought to that place where you can say, I'm sick of self. There's nothing in me. Merits this grace. That merits God's mercy. Nothing in me. And those children are the children of God. They're not the children of the devil. Christ spoke here Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He knows his own. And friends, today, it is as though the Lord would say to us, examine yourselves. Have you the evidence of these things in you? Can you say, yes, there's nothing in me that could merit God's mercy? He's showing me what a defiled, sinful wretch I am. Black, polluted, filthy. There's nothing in me that would merit his mercy. There's nothing in me that would cause God to love me. Then it must be this. The cause of love is in himself. And he chose me before the world began. He predestinated me to become a son of God, a child of God, an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. We look at the world and we see, we have to say it, but for the grace of God, there go I. That's what I was, that's what I am, but for grace. But can you say it? Or do you go out? This day you go out and you look at the world and you say, I'm not like that. I'm so different to that. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't go to these places. Then you have not eaten of the bread. You have not eaten of the bread of life. Because whoso eateth this bread, oh yes, he sees. When he takes of the bread of life, his eyes are opened. Do you remember the Garden of Eden? Eve took the fruit. She ate of the fruit. And she gave to her husband. And he ate of the fruit. And their eyes were opened. That was forbidden fruit. That was something they should not have eaten. But now Christ gives himself. But there was enlightenment. When they took of the fruit, their eyes were open. They saw they were sinners. They saw that they were naked. They saw that they had broken the law, the holy law of God. And now they needed a sacrifice. Now they needed to eat his flesh and drink his blood. They needed a garment to cover them. Something to adorn their naked soul. They were exposed to the wrath of God. But as the Lord shown you, as he brought you there, you see God, he is constantly teaching us. But as he is teaching us, he is pouring us out. He is bringing us down. He is emptying us. He's doing all those things which cause the flesh to shrink back from the way. Because this way is a meek and lowly way. Christ set a gracious example. The meek and lowly Jesus. Yes, he took upon him the form of a servant. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And he calls us as children to follow that way, to follow his steps, to follow his example. And so the Lord is leading us in a way which will not exalt our flesh. We'll have nothing to boast of. The apostle says, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where my boasting is. It's what he has done, what he's accomplished for me at Calvary. I've nothing else to boast about. And yet when he was a Pharisee, he had plenty to boast about. A Pharisee of the Pharisees. A proud man. An educated man. A qualified man. All the letters after his name. What does it mean, Paul? What do all these things mean? What do all these things mean to you today? What are you seeking after? Letters after your name? A title? Something that will elevate your flesh so men can look up to you. Or do you want to follow the meek and lowly Jesus? To be like him, to be found in him, not having your own righteousness. What did Paul say? I can take all these things. I can take all the titles. Yes, all that it meant to me. Everything. And I can cast it all away like dung. What for? That I might win Christ. You see that prize which is set before you? Do you run the race? Or are you loitering? Do you say, the children of Israel, I'm weary of it. Tired of it. What is there for me? And yet there's a glorious promise, a glorious prize. There's a glorious day coming. The Lord took Moses to the mountaintop, and he showed him all the promised land. You see, we lose sight of the land which is afar off. We lose sight of Jesus Christ, who is the glory of Emmanuel's land. And all these other things crowd in. Unbelief, the mother of sins. Yes, I think of Ruth and Naomi. Naomi is a child of God. But she was not going to suffer with the children of God. Bethlehem, it was a time of famine. You see, perhaps your old nature looks at something else, a better prospect. I could move on. I don't have to stay here. There's a famine here at this moment. There's not much happening here at this moment. There's not much going on. I could move on. Go to somewhere else. But you see, Naomi went to Moab. But the Lord followed her. And he taught her. Oh, he taught her her need of him while she was in Moab. And I believe he taught her to pray. And in all these things, she needed the bread of life. And there came that time when she was in Moab. She heard how God had visited his people by giving them bread. That's what she'd heard. And she desired that bread. You think she went back just for the bread, the natural bread that perishes? No, she wanted the bread. She heard how God had visited his people. And that's what we need, friends, is God to visit us with his salvation. To restore unto us the joy of his salvation. To visit us again, his people, with bread. And so she went back. She went back a different woman. She went back a changed woman. She went back with nothing but the one thing which was needful. The bread of heaven. And Ruth went with her too. Because she desired this bread. Yes, he went back. And the Lord, his eye was upon them for good. He knew where they were. He knew what they'd come to. He knew their sorrows. He knew what they'd pass through. The bereavements, the sorrows, all of it. He knew it all. And there was a time coming. There was a time of great blessing when they would see the goodness of the Lord passing before them. And so you may say this afternoon, you may be in the darkness, you may have passed through the bereavements, you may have passed through the sorrows, you may have gone through the valley of the shadow of death. But he's leading you. He's leading you out into a wealthy place. He's leading you the same way he led Naomi, the same way he led Ruth, the same way he led Jacob, the same way he led Joseph. He's leading you into green pastures. He's leading you into a place where you will see the goodness of the Lord passing before you. He's leading you to the place where you'll be able to rejoice. The place where he will drop down handfuls of purpose. Feed you with the bread of heaven. Oh, you may just now think, let us move on. Let us look for a new place. Let us look for a different field. Let us look for a place where those handfuls of purpose will be dropped down. But God has appointed the place. This is the place. This is, we might say, this is the field that the Lord has blessed. You may be tempted to go to some other place. You want something different. Different from the bread of heaven. You want something lighter. You want something that will satisfy perhaps your flesh. That's all it is satisfying, gratifying your flesh. A change. Something new. Ask for the old paths and walk therein. Naomi went for something new. She went down to Moab. But she had to come back. Just like the prodigal. Yes, he knew there was bread enough in his father's house. He had to come back. It took a long time, perhaps, for that prodigal to come back. We don't know how long. But we know this, he came back. Because there was bread in his father's house. He knew it. God showed it to him. He was sick and tired with the husks that the swine do eat. And that's all you'll get. If you move away from the place where God has appointed to feed you, if you move from that field where he has dropped down in the past, handfuls of purpose, you'll find that you'll move to a place. And all you'll get is the husks that the swine do eat. There'll be no food for your soul. No. Think of the Ethiopian eunuch. He's going up to Jerusalem. Surely I'll find God there. It's the great city of the God. The true God. The God of Israel. Surely I'll find him there. So he goes up. Yes, he takes his chariot, he goes up all the way to Jerusalem, seeking the living God. It's written. It's the city of the great God. He must be there. So he goes up. There's plenty of religion in Jerusalem. There's all the scribes. The Pharisees, the high priests, the chief priests. There's all the sacrifices, there's all the ceremony, there's all the form, all the tradition, all the customs. It's all there. If you want religion, go to Jerusalem. But you won't find the bread of heaven in such places. God had forsaken Jerusalem. then where was he going to find the bread? Well, the word tells us we are journeying. Wait a minute. You've got to turn from Jerusalem. Yes, you've got to turn your back on Jerusalem, the place where you thought you were going to find it. And down he comes through the wilderness, through the desert, through the Gaza Strip. There's nothing there. It's a lonely old place, isn't it? But the bread of life was there. The bread of heaven was there. It was the appointed place for the eunuch to receive Christ, the bread of life. The appointed place where Jesus Christ would be revealed to him as his Saviour. And the Lord had appointed the man to go and preach to him. He had the Word of God. He could read the Word of God. But he didn't understand the Word of God. Philip, yes, what did God say to him? The angel of the Lord said, arise. Not arise and eat, arise and go south. Go toward the south. So he arose and he found him. There was the chariot. Join thyself to this chariot. Why? Because my people need feeding. They need feeding with the bread of life. Here's one in the wilderness. Here's one in the desert. Here's one that is traveling to the kingdom. He needs to hear the words of life. He needs that bread of life. Join thyself to this chariot. And so Philip goes near. And he joins himself to the chariot. And he hears the eunuch reading out loud from Isaiah's prophecy. But he doesn't understand it. The veil is still upon his heart. We might say the middle wall of partition is still up. He can't see the Saviour. He's hidden from his view. Until Philip goes up into the chariot. And under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, he preaches to him Jesus. Jesus is the one sacrifice for sin. And the eunuch listens. And he sees the vision. Yes, that vision which is spoken of in Zechariah's prophecy, I'll pour upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon thee whom they have pierced. And the eunuch, as Philip preached, he saw Christ. He saw the cross. He saw the Saviour. He saw his sins laid upon him. He had the blessing communicated by the Holy Ghost. All this was done for you. Then he could say, see, here is water. And until you see the vision, you cannot say, see, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? The vision is the bread of life, Christ, in the sinner's place. Arise and eat. Because the journey is too great for thee. It's too great for us. Too great. But he giveth more grace. He gives the support of divine grace. And blessed be God that he does. Because if he did not, I say this chapel would be empty this afternoon. It's no small mercy to continue. You may think it's hard. You may think sometimes it's unfair. You may think that nobody perhaps is walking the same pathway that you're walking. But consider him. Ah, when next time you come to the juniper tree, oh, consider him that hung upon the accursed tree. Consider him. Arise and eat. Oh, when you consider him, in your place, suffering for your sins. It is then that God gives us grace to arise. Because then we can eat his flesh or drink his blood by faith. Then we see it is well with our souls. Regardless of what happens in this life, we shall see then it will be well at the end. So let us hold fast then. Oh, let us look to Jesus. Let us trust in him, for he will bring it to pass. He's promised, and he's faithful who's promised. And though you come to the juniper tree, though you feel cast down, though you feel sad, though you feel lonely, though you feel to be isolated, perhaps you even feel to be in prison, you have the enemy. Oh, this great adversary. He never gives up, does he? He never tires, does he? He never takes a break, does he? The adversary of your soul. The persecutor of the brethren. And that's your greatest persecutor, and it will be the greatest persecutor, your greatest persecutor, while here on earth is Satan. This persecutor. Poor old Job, he knew it. He knew what it was to sit under the juniper tree in dust and ashes, covered in sores and boils, scraping himself with potsherds. But then the Lord revealed himself, and Job had to say, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I repent. I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Until we see him. One sight of Jesus. That is all we need to put everything right. To put us in our rightful place at his feet. Humbled, clothed, and in our right minds. And may we hear and say to us, arise and eat. Oh, eat my flesh and drink my blood, for the journey is too great for thee. Amen.